Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read just a few verses, beginning in verse 39. Verse 39 is the end of the chapter that we sometimes call the Hall of Faith. And it's in this chapter that the writer to the Hebrews lists all kinds of different people who lived and walked in faith before the Lord. And then in verse 39, he says, "And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." I started last week a short series of sermons based on that phrase in the Apostles' Creed that we say, the communion of saints. We believe in the communion of saints. And last week we looked at some foundational ideas related to that. And I guess if we could put it simply, the communion of saints is simply the fellowship of believers, the fellowship of God's people. We are joined together as believers with God's people. And we are joined together, as I mentioned during our opening prayer this morning, that we are joined together across denominations and across history, even with Old Testament believers, and we're joined together across cultures and ethnic groups. We are one body in Christ. And that connection, as I mentioned last week, is deeper than an association. It is an organic union. We are connected to each other. We all belong to a single body. As we reflected on those things last week, we looked at John's vision in Revelation chapter 7 of that great multitude that John says was more than could be numbered, from every nation and language, from every tribe and tongue. And they were all gathered around the throne of God at the end of history. And I wanted to encourage you last week just to remember how big a thing it is that God is doing, and that we need to remind ourselves of that from time to time, because our vision can become myopic and we think that we are the only ones. And yet God is doing a great and mighty thing, assembling a great multitude of people for himself, joined together as one in Christ. And here in this passage, the writer to the Hebrews gives us another picture of the communion of saints. And there are a couple of things that the writer says here in just these few verses that we read this morning. And so it's going to actually take us 2 weeks to look at this passage. But this morning I want to just look at that image that he gives us at the beginning of chapter 12, when he says, "Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with endurance the race that is set out for us." For years, when I read this passage, the thing that came to my mind was a massive stadium, kind of like Super Bowl Stadium tonight, right? It's just going to be filled with a bunch of spectators. And those spectators are all the saints through the ages who have finished their race, and they are surrounding us like they're filling a great coliseum and watching us and cheering us on as we run our race of faith. That's a pretty cool picture, isn't it? But I don't think that's what the writer to the Hebrews wants us to see. I've come to the conclusion that the picture isn't quite that, and actually, that's a good thing. Because if you think about it, the idea of being watched by millions of people isn't all that encouraging. who really wants all of our mistakes and sins to be played out in real time in front of a vast multitude of people? Do you want that? Sometimes in our spiritual walk, we're kind of like Tom Brady. You know, we're leading the third quarter comeback, and the whole stadium is excited and cheering. But then there are other times where, like the kicker for the Chicago Bears who hit the post four times in one game. Or even worse, like the Lions who still managed to lose that game after the kicker hit the post four times. Alistair Begg makes a really good point. His mother has gone on to glory, and he says, "I certainly don't think it would be heaven for my mother to have to watch me fumble and bumble through life." Yeah, I think that's a good point. So if the witnesses aren't spectators, who are they and what are they doing? I think in order to kind of get the right context for what the writer says here, we need to go back to the beginning of chapter 11 and verses 1 and 2. And if you have your Bibles, you can kind of follow along. We're going to hit some of the highlights of chapter 11. But the chapter begins with this statement: "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their condemnation." Not condemnation, sorry. Commendation. Two very different words, aren't they? They received their commendation. They were commended. And then the writer to the Hebrews gives us a whole list of people. And every time he brings up a new person, he introduces them with the same words. He says, "by faith." So in verse 4, he says, "by faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice." In verse 5, "by faith, Enoch exercised and lived by faith. And so God blessed him. He didn't actually die. He was carried straight up into heaven. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Moses." And on and on down through the history of the Old Testament, bringing before us people who had lived and died and walked in faith. And then we get to verse 39, and verse 39 kind of wraps up the whole chapter, and he brings all these people before us, and he says, "All of these were commended," not condemned, "commended for their faith." In fact, he uses that same word, commended, five different times in Hebrews chapter 11. And in the Greek, and this I think is the important link for the cloud of witnesses, in the Greek, that word commended is the same word that is used for witnesses in chapter 12 and verse 1. It is the Greek word martyrio, which is the word we get our English word martyrs from. And as it's used in chapter 11, it means to give testimony in support of a person, to affirm their character, or to give them a recommendation, to bear witness to something that they have done or something that they have achieved. So when the author says that they were commended, he is saying that God has testified to us about them. God has borne witness to us about their faith. He has commended them to us, and he's done that by recording their stories in the pages of Scripture, so that even though we are separated from them by thousands of years, we can see their lives of faith, and we can be instructed and encouraged by them. God has borne witness to us of their faith. And then in chapter 12, verse 1, they in turn bear witness to us by their lives of faith. So that's the picture that the author of Hebrews wants us to see. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, the communion of saints. They're not watching us like spectators in a stadium. They are witnessing to us of God's grace and of His faithfulness. Old Testament saints is what the writer to the Hebrews gives us a picture of, lining the pathways of our lives. And they have finished the course victoriously, and they are now cheering us on and encouraging us in our race. And so he says, so in view of that, because of all these witnesses to the life of faith, let us run, let us persevere, let us run with endurance, let us finish the course. As I reflect on that, I think there are perhaps three things that these heroes of faith, these witnesses, are saying to us through their testimony. The first is that just as God has testified to us of their faithfulness, they testify to us of God's faithfulness. Their testimony is that God can be trusted. He is a God who keeps His promises. He is a God that stays with us no matter what, as the scriptures say, closer than a brother. And He never leaves us alone, and He will always accomplish in us the thing that He sets out to do. And we can trust Him completely, and their lives are a testimony to that fact, that God can be trusted. The second thing that their lives testify to us is that great things can be accomplished by those who live by faith. Their testimony is that God can take ordinary, broken people like you and me, and He can take people who are weak, people who make mistakes, people who fail and who sin. He can take those kinds of people and He can do extraordinary things through them. One of the marks of that hall of faith that the writer to the Hebrews lays out for us is that all of those people that are listed there were weak. They struggled, they failed, they made mistakes. Yet I want you to look at verses 33 through 38 of chapter 11. The writer, after listing a number of people, basically says, and I don't have time to list all the other things and all the other people and the things that they accomplished. And he begins in verse 33, he says, who through faith conquered kingdoms, who enforced justice and obtained promises and stopped the mouths of lions, who quenched the power of the fire and escaped the edge of the sword, who were made strong out of weakness and became mighty in war, who put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves. These are the people that God brings before us to witness to us of the life of faith. People who endured, people who persevered, people who did great things because they trusted God. The third thing I think these witnesses would say to us is that they would encourage us to persevere in our race. They would say they have been where we are. They know what it is to be weary. They know what it is to be discouraged and to feel embattled. They know what it's like to face insurmountable obstacles. And they know what it's like to feel alone and afraid. But they persevered in their right, in their race, and their lives cry out to us, you can do it too. Keep running. Don't give up. God is faithful, and He will give you the strength to endure when you feel like your strength is gone. Keep running. Someone is excited about that. Keep running. The finish line is just ahead. So God has given us a great heritage in the communion of saints. People that have gone before us, who show us the way, who have lived out in their own lives examples for us to follow in our lives, and who inspire us and encourage us as we run our race. And the writer to the Hebrews has given us a list of some of those people in Hebrews 11. But I would say that the great cloud of witnesses that he refers to is not just confined to those people. God has given us people in our own lives who have finished the race before us and have shown us what a life of faithfulness looks like. You have people like that in your life that you can look back to and say, that person helped me so much. They may not even have known it. You just watched them. And yet they demonstrated in their lives what a faithful life looks like. Perhaps they mentored you or were an example to you. And even though they are gone, they have passed on into glory, they continue to inspire you. I have a couple people like that in my life. Pastor Chase, one of my pastors when I was probably 8 years old, had a tremendous impact on my life. And his, you know how he had his impact on me? He would come and give me gum after church. But you know what it said to me? I notice you. I love you. I care about you. And because he noticed me, I took notice of him. And I saw him live that out in his life. My Grandpa Heath, some of you know Grandpa Heath. He passed away, 8 years or so ago. But he attended this congregation for a few years, and he was a tremendous person in my life who impacted me after my father passed away and really became a second father and a mentor for me, taught me what it means to be a man of God. And I can think of people in our own congregation. I think of Joseph Somerville and Sandy Bamsey and Bev Tremarsh, just a few that have gone on, and yet they have left a mark on us. They have left a legacy for us to follow. And the cloud of witnesses is not only confined to those that have died. We are called to play a similar role in each other's lives as brothers and sisters in Christ. We're called to help each other along the way as fellow sojourners on this journey, on this pilgrimage of faith. Paul in Ephesians 4 talks about us as God's people growing up together as we share our lives with each other, growing up in Christ together. In Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one, for they have a good return for their labor. If one falls, the other can help him up. And a cord of three strands is not easily broken. We need to have those people in our lives. people who are running the race beside us and who can encourage us when we feel weak and lift us up when we fall, who remind us to keep our eyes on Jesus and keep us pointed to the finish line. I'm blessed to have several people in my life that do that for me, and there are others right here at TCC who continue to be examples to me of godliness, and I look up to you. I want to learn from you what it means to persevere in faithfulness. And finally, we too are called to live in such a way that our lives bear witness to those who run the race after us. We are called to leave a legacy of faith for the generations that are still to come. The young people and the children in this church are watching you. The communion of saints may not be watching you, but they're watching you. And our call is to live our lives before them in such a way that they believe there is a God who loves them. They believe there is a God that they can trust, a God who cares about them, and that the life of faith is worth it, so that those who put their trust in God and live by faith can do extraordinary things, even though they're ordinary people, just like you and me. There's a song, some of you probably remember it, by Steve Green. I've lived long enough for Steve Green to kind of become like classic, right? But he sang a song way back in the dark ages called "Find Us Faithful." Any of you remember that song? I want to read the words for you because it says a lot about this idea of the communion of saints encouraging each other along the way. It says, "We're pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race, not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. After all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with endurance the course that is marked out for us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the communion of saints that surrounds us as a gift from you, testifying to us of your faithfulness, testifying to us that the life of faith can be lived victoriously, that ordinary people can do extraordinary things, and that we can persevere. Lord, encourage us by their testimony. And even as they encourage us, Father, may we live in such a way that our lives set an example for those who come behind us. That together we will grow up into Christ for your glory and your praise. And it's in Jesus' name that we ask these things. Amen.